Hi, my name is Hannah Lynn Miller, and I'm obsessed with three things: fashion, therapy, and theology. And even though they may not seem to connect, this podcast is all about how those three things really do. Not only do they intersect, but you'll find that they are tools for helping you navigate hard things like the question of who am I, what is my purpose, and how do I change my life narrative? I have around 8 years of radio broadcasting experience, and I recently quit my Chicago radio job to start a media marketing business and finish my clinical mental health counseling degree. I live on the west side of Chicago with my cat, Karen, and my handsome pastor man husband, John Miller. We are going to get real, hang out, laugh, and talk about knowing and owning who you are created to be. Think of this as a place where you can chat about your favorite fashion trends and then ask hard questions about mental health, relationships, and your faith. So basically, we're going to cover all the things. Most importantly, that your identity is covered in what Jesus did on the cross for you. Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? I'm Hannah Lynn Miller, and you're listening to the You Are Covered podcast. I am so excited to get started today. I have been writing this episode for a while, just really taking in what the Bible has to say about the power of presence and what mental health says about presence. And then we're going to bring in some elements of fashion today just to help you think about what presence actually is and what is that word and where does the power come from when we say, hey, like, you know, just sit with somebody. You know, we've been hearing this, hey, like, it's okay to just sit with somebody who's not doing well and not try to fix their problems. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. And this is probably the first episode that I've recorded after spending some time as a counseling intern. So I'm really excited to like dive into this because I've been able to observe firsthand what the power of presence can really do in someone's life. Typically, the person who comes in for counseling doesn't always see, you know, the progress that they're making, where the counselor can see it, but they're the ones doing the hard work. In my practicum this summer, I've been able to be just like an observer. So I'm observing clinical licensed counselors, and I'm watching them basically go through the whole process and everything. So I'm able to actually literally see clients coming in just upset, like really going through hard things. People go through some hard things. Like, I am so encouraged by just how I'm just like proud of the people that I've been able to hold their story. Like, I'm not their counselor, but I'm listening, I'm hearing them, and I'm just like literally so proud of what they go through and that they're getting help. So and you know what? I'm proud of you. I mean, I don't really know where my podcast is fitting in to your life right now. Maybe it is like something that you feel like you need kind of like a Bible study every week, or maybe it's fitting into just entertainment and making you laugh a little bit, have a little bit more joy in your life. I don't know what this podcast is going to be like, or like, because when I'm recording these episodes, this is the seventh episode. Nothing has been out there. So I literally have no idea. So I don't know if you're coming here for the Bible encouragement or you're coming here for mental health tips, which I really want to just be able to give to you every single time, just because these are things that I've been learning and it's helped me personally, even though like I'm a mental health counseling student. So it's like I've been studying this stuff for a long time, but it's amazing to be able to put it into practice for my personal life. Like when I'm going through transitions, being able to know, hey, like this is normal for me to feel really worn out, just kind of overwhelmed and nervous and all the things. So anyways, those are some reasons why I am doing this podcast. And I really just want you to be able to feel encouraged. And I hope that whatever it is for you that you come to visit this podcast and listen and watch, whatever it is, like, I hope that you are gaining something, and I'm proud of you for making that effort and giving yourself some of that time to, like, just take time out of your day and listen to a podcast. I mean, honestly, we all have such busy things going on. And I think about moms and how much y'all do in a day. So I just appreciate you guys hanging out with me on this podcast. And we're going to dive in. We are first going to look at presence in the Bible. And we're going to focus in on the New Testament, and we're going to focus in on the Gospels specifically, because there is a passage that I wanted to, like, insert here from the Old Testament, when I believe it was Elijah, he experienced depression, and the angel of the Lord came and was with him and provided for his needs. But just, like, the amount of just sitting with him, it spoke to me so powerfully. Maybe I'll do another episode on that. But we see the power of presence everywhere in the Bible, but specifically towards the end of Jesus's ministry, when he's telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to go. And his disciples are like, where are you going? Like, I'll go with you. Where else will we go? And he's, like, trying to prepare them for his death and resurrection. And literally, like, if I was one of Jesus's followers or disciples, I wouldn't understand either. I'd be like, what? You're going to die? Where are you going? Like, I would have no idea. So to, like, picture this, that Jesus is trying to tell them, hey, this is what's going on. Like, I will not be here forever. And trying to tell them, but it's going to be for your benefit. So he's present with his disciples, right? He is present in a way that you and I have never experienced. And I'm honestly really looking forward to it. I don't know when that's going to be for me, but I'm really looking forward to meeting Jesus and seeing him in person and being physically there. And I don't know what that's going to look like when we go to be with the Lord. Like, I don't really know what that looks like, but this is what the disciples clearly enjoyed spending time with Jesus. And I think it's so cool that they were, you know, they were fishermen. They were doing all the things. They were eating together. Like, Jesus provided for their needs, and they, you know, they traveled and they walked and they talked together. And I just think that's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus wants to do for us as well. And it's not going to be physical. And so we're going to kind of dive into that. What does the presence of Jesus look like today for us, for believers who know him? And we're going to kind of talk about the Holy Spirit, because it's a link between the presence, the physical Jesus, like Jesus being present with his disciples, and us having that same presence. But it's better. We have something that's better. The power of presence in the Bible, we have something that is even better than having Jesus physically here with us, which is hard to believe and hard to wrap our mind around, but that is what the Bible says. God's gift to us is through the Holy Spirit in presence. John 20:17 says, Jesus said to her, this was Mary, do not cling to me. This is after he was resurrected. Do not cling for me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. So that's kind of like the beginning of the presence. The beginning of the end, basically, of Jesus being with his followers. So first he appears to Mary, and then we read later in that passage that he appears to the disciples in verse 21, and he says this. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then verse 22 says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he appears to Thomas, right? And Thomas says, I don't believe it. Like I want to touch his hands. I want to see where the nails pierced his hands. And Jesus is like, hey, do you believe now? And then in chapter 21, I think it's a little further down, he also appears to his disciples and they go fishing and they eat together. This is all after he died. So like they were grieving. They were like, Jesus is gone. This is the end. These years that we've spent just following him around basically and listening to his teaching, it was all for nothing. Like we thought that something amazing was going to happen and now he's dead. And then Jesus appears back, you know, and fills them with his presence. And I just find that these like little accounts that they talk about in the Bible is so interesting to me. You know, he goes fishing. And then Luke's account is like my favorite. It's literally my favorite because there's these followers, these Christians who are on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appears and starts talking to them like a stranger because they don't recognize him. Because again, they're thinking, oh, he died. And the Bible says that their eyes were not opened to the fact that it was Jesus. And I love it. So they're talking and they were, you know, discussing. Then they invited him to dine with them and stay the night with them. And then the next day they realize it's Jesus and they were talking to each other. And this is what the scripture says. They describe the feeling of being with Jesus. It says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? That's in chapter 24. What? I want that feeling. I don't know. Just the way that they described it is so interesting to me. So, and it makes me think, like, have you ever been around someone who you just know is led by the Holy Spirit and you're like, something is different about that person. Like, I want to be around that person forever. I think that this is kind of what they're describing. Like, I wonder, because Jesus is always comparing him going and the Holy Spirit coming being better. I wonder if that's kind of the feeling that they got in the presence of Jesus. If it's similar to how we feel when we're around someone who is led by the Holy Spirit. I just find that description so amazing. And then we read the ascension account verses in Luke 24, 48 through 49. And then John 14, 18 says that I will never leave you. I will come to you. Like he's saying, I'm going, you'll be with me again. And then John 16, 7, this is like, you know, this is before all of this is happening, the resurrection, you know, death and resurrection. This is, I want to end on talking about, because this is where Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is better than his presence. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is also the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then verse 12, this is good. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them. You cannot bear them now. And I think that's what he's talking about, like talking about the resurrection and him leaving. When the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So really what's key is in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. So the presence of the Holy Spirit is powerful, and it's to our advantage that Jesus goes and the Holy Spirit comes, which is just mind-blowing to think about. If you feel alone and if you desire to be close to Jesus Christ and you want that kind of relationship, just remember that you have something better than what the first century Christ followers had. You have the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have that we can tap into. We can talk to through the Holy Spirit and like listen to truth and know things and just be in tune with, who God has created us to be. We can know things about him and in the Holy Spirit and opening scripture. And it's just like really, really powerful. So I hope that's encouraging to you. I know I bounced around the scriptures a lot, but really what's key is this John 16:7, talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's presence being so powerful and so much better. And I do believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, because it convicts and it, we should address it. It's not an it. That's another theological thing, but he is part of the Trinity. The power of the Holy Spirit heals. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit heals. And it's kind of a picture of what we get to do when we sit with other people and when we talk to them and when we're able to say, hey, like, you know, what can I do to help you and be the body of Christ? Like, we have the Holy Spirit in us and that never changes. And so we can go out into the world and we can say, hey, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence, that I think that really makes a difference. At least it's made a difference in my life. And I know people who just, man, has such a powerful presence. And I think it's because of through Jesus Christ, they have the Holy Spirit. All right. I am going to a Cubs game later today, so that's why I'm dressed the way that I am. It was supposed to happen yesterday, but then it got rained out. So again, I'm recording this podcast in July. So when you watch this, you'll be like, what? Baseball hasn't happened for a month, Hannah. That's why. So, all right, we're going to talk about presence in the fashion world. And I wanted to start by telling a little story. You know how when, and I'm going to talk to the women who are listening, but you know when was the last time you lived with a really good friend of yours and had like a roommate situation? You know, I live with my husband now, so I don't live with women, which I kind of got to a point where I'm like, I am too old to live with women. Like, there's a point where you're like, I want the kitchen to be the way that I want it to be. I don't know. I always tell people in their 20s or you know, 30s, I'm like, you know, there's a point where it's okay to want to live by yourself, and it's actually really good. And I enjoyed living by myself for a while. But I did really like having a roommate, and here's why. I loved being able to bounce off each other's like outfit ideas. Like, you know how you would say, like, okay, what do you think about this outfit? Does this go, or does this just look horrible? Like, what do you think? Like, I loved getting that kind of feedback. And it's true, like, if you're a dude and you're listening to this podcast, I really appreciate you, and I'm so glad you are here. But women really do connect through fashion, beauty, hair, all the things. Like, we really do. Like, I remember sitting at a hockey game and looking over next to me, and I noticed that somebody had this lip color that I totally love and I'm obsessed with. And I was like, is that so-and-so by so-and-so? It was like a lip plumper. And I knew exactly what it was. And I asked her, and she took it out. She was like, yes, I love that. I love that lip. And I'm like, oh, yes, it's like the best. And we had like a whole conversation about it during a hockey game. And I remember the guy I was dating at the time, he looked over and he just like rolled his eyes. He thought it was so funny. We weren't connecting over the hockey game. We were connecting over the lip color, which is just how it is sometimes. I mean, that's not every girl, but I think it's really funny how, I don't know, in Christian circles, we've kind of made fashion and beauty like not important or bad or just not okay. Like, I don't know if you've experienced that, but I definitely did in my upbringing. Like, makeup was is not good. Like, you don't need makeup. That was always the thing. And it, yeah, you don't need makeup, but it's fun. My camera just keeps dying. All right. Where are we? Yeah, it's fashion is a connection point for a lot of women. It's a great way to make friends. And I feel like sometimes it's something that you have in common. You get to go shopping. Like, that's so fun. And, but there's, when I looked up the word presence in the fashion industry, because I was like, do I link this? What do we do on the fashion kind of part of the episode? And it was interesting because the word presence means something totally different than the mental health space. So when you're saying the power of presence in fashion industry, it's meaning more of like you're taking up space, and it refers to leadership, specifically for women, females in leadership, which I'm really passionate about. I think that it's really important to acknowledge that being a woman and in leadership in the business world, in, you know, the workplace is very challenging, and it has it's just complicated sometimes. So the fashion industry really talks about presence as in like entering a room and having presence. So it's very different. So it's really interesting. And so when I think about fashion and presence, and the way that we can connect to each other as females in industries, as in friends, all the things, I think that it's really key to point out that fashion could be a point of competition when you're trying to stand out, when you're trying to have a presence in the workplace. It could really be a point of a tool for competition. And I just think that this is a good opportunity to talk about how fashion, it should be a connecting point for us. It shouldn't be competition. I just remember with my roommate in college, we were always like talking about clothes, and she really enjoyed fashion too. But like, I think I was a little bit more trying to find what I liked, and it tended to be a lot more creative and not so much something that maybe a girl in Bible college would have worn. And I remember one day she looked at me and she said, "Hannah, you need to own your fashion choices." Essentially, that's what she said. And it changed my life, because really what she was saying is what you wear, what you put on, you have to own it. And so if somebody's going to make fun of you, which sometimes happens if you're a little bit more creative with your clothes and your fashion, if someone makes fun of you, you have to just own it and know, okay, I put on this outfit, that person didn't, and that's coming from their own insecurity. And I want to be able to do like another episode on this conversation, but it was, I don't know, I just remember so many of those conversations with my roommate and connecting over clothes and getting dressed in the morning and just having fun with hair and all the things. And I just wish that that would happen in the workplace as well. Like, I think that a lot of the times we women can have not trauma, but just kind of like this experience of we're going to compete against each other because of how we look or because of how we present ourselves. So we end up talking over each other, and that would happen. That's happened to me before. Or you're just suspicious of everyone. Like, you're suspicious of the other women that you work with, or maybe that woman is younger or something like that. Presence shouldn't be a competition. Presence should be a collaboration, a connecting point. And that goes without saying for the fashion industry. I know this is a little bit like ethereal, but that's what I think about when I think about presence in the fashion industry, that it could be a competition to be seen and heard and noticed, and not necessarily. And I think as women, when we work with other women, I think we forget that it just has no place. Like, that has no place. Like, being in competition with each other, like, it's too hard. That's what I always say. It's too hard to compete against each other anyways. It's too hard to be a woman in the workplace anyways. So let's not do that, and let's collaborate, and let's remember those friendships in college when we were roommates and we talked about clothes and fashion and we're and connected over those things, connected over the presence instead of like competing, if that makes any sense. And I think too, fashion can be such a powerful tool for creating presence in the workplace and confidence. And like, I'm a mindset coach. And it's really interesting to know that the way that you think and you believe about yourself plays out into your behavior. And that's totally something that the fashion industry talks about in the business world. Like what you wear really does matter. And so these are some tips for dressing like a leader, taking up presence, taking up space in the business world from Wall Street Journal. And so I'm just going to list some of them off. And again, when you're taking up space and presence and leadership, it should never be a competition. It should always be focusing on you and being better and but never pushing down other people. There's no place for that. Okay, so here's a few tips. One, a nice outfit can go a long way on business travel. So if you're traveling, still look the part. Jackets are what people remember, so keep that in mind. So if you have a nice blazer, that's huge. No matter what level you are in business, maintain a professional appearance is really important. And it's not about how much money you spend on clothing. It's how you put those pieces together to present yourself in a way. Be comfortable with color. I know this, for me, it's a struggle sometimes, but a pop of color is really important for just being noticed and not hiding. I think a lot of times we make ourselves small, subconsciously in how we dress. And so giving yourself a color that you're comfortable with. Like for me, I wore red a lot and it really made me feel powerful and noticed, and it didn't stress me out because I was one color. So try that out. Look to fashion startups for designer discounts. I'm not big into this, but that was something that they mentioned. If you're into designer clothing, maybe start investing in pieces that way. I think Guild is one that they mentioned. Add small touches of style to a comfortable and pragmatic work wardrobe. So, you know, add like belts and accessorize. And remember that if you look good, you're also going to feel good. And that just kind of plays into everything that we talk about with mindset and using fashion as a way to create presence for yourself. Start with small style changes. A lot of the times, the reason why you keep doing the same things with clothing and fashion and not updating your wardrobe or going to the same colors, like you'll notice like grays and blacks are like the things that I will go to. And a lot of times it's because of fear of rejection, fear of doing something that is people are going to think is weird. So you have to drop the fear and you have to be making small style choices at a time. Like just pick one thing that you want to work on with your wardrobe when you're getting dressed, and then it's not as scary, if you know what I mean. So there you have it. Be confident and work towards connection, not competition, when using fashion to create presence. The power of presence when it comes to healing and when it comes to helping those around you just have better relationships and process hard things together. You know, that was something that was really hard, I think, with the pandemic, is that no one was able to have that connection. A lot of people were alone. It hit us really hard in the city. So maybe you're like, well, my community, Hannah, really stepped up when it came to presence and the coming together. But for us in the city, it was really difficult. Like, we just couldn't, I didn't see friends. Like, there was a couple friends that I probably saw twice during the last 2 years. And I think that's really hard when you're going through something hard and you don't have that connection point. I've been thinking about this for a long time because I had a lot of friends of mine who passed away at a young age. So I, in high school, really thought about like what I was more aware of, like what didn't work for me. Like when I was grieving the losing two friends of mine, I noticed what wasn't working. And so this thought of the power of the presence, it's not trying to fix somebody's problem. It's not offering advice. It's not being comforting and saying comforting words. It's not being spiritual and giving Bible verses. Those things has its place, but please, please do not forget the power of presence. Just sitting with someone who is hurting. It is insane how helpful it is. So in this episode, I'm going to give you a few tips on how to be a positive, powerful presence in another person's life, in your friend's life. I'm going to give you some tips on that because, you know, it's not a normal thing. And if you haven't lost a loved one, you've never really had to grieve someone passing away, or maybe you were one of the lucky ones and you never had to go through a breakup or things where there was tons of loss. Like, some people don't go, they go their whole life not knowing what it feels like to really lose or to experience loss. And there's, that can be a number of different things, but, I'm going to give you some tips on how to be a powerful, positive presence in somebody's life. Just because, you know, it doesn't come natural, because we have to kind of get beyond our own experiences to be able to help another person. So anyways, I had two friends pass away in high school and another friend who, it was just a really hard situation to where it affected me a lot. It was a heavy situation where it affected me. So I didn't feel like I had a whole lot of support because I didn't feel like people understood what it really meant to lose friends at a young age, like what I was experiencing. Like, your brain isn't fully developed. Like, you don't think about, as a teenager, you don't even think about really what the next day is. So I just remember when I was going to go to my friend Courtney's funeral the next day, the day before, I really didn't even think about it. I didn't process it. I didn't think, okay, who's going to go with me? Am I going to do this alone? Where is it at? And so I remember like totally blocking it out of my mind until the day of. And I'm like, oh, crap, I do have to go to my friend Courtney's funeral. And I remember very few things, but I remember two things. I think I had mentioned it to one friend, and I don't know why I decided to tell her, but I told her, I said, hey, like, I am really sad because I'm going to have to go to this funeral. And she just invited herself to come with me. I'm like, are you sure? I think that a lot of times we don't want to let people enter into our hurt and our pain because of the burden it does cause another person. But knowing the people that are strong enough who know how to handle these things is so crucial. And we all have them. You'd be surprised who will show up during a hard time. You have somebody who loves you, who cares about you and wants to be that person for you. You just have to let them. And so my friend Roxanne, I remember she went to the funeral with me. I remember it being really weird because people that I knew Courtney had a hard time with was at the funeral. So that was weird. It was like everybody came together in the end. It was just so, so interesting. It's just a weird thing. So anyways, I will never forget my friend just kind of inviting herself into that space and just being very, very supportive and kind. And I don't remember ever even having a conversation with her about it. She just invited herself into that space. And I think that really does prove that sometimes you have to invite yourself into those spaces in a kind way. And especially if you're not going to say anything, and if you're just going to, the power of the presence is so huge. Like, all you have to do is just show up. Don't say anything. Like, what are you going to say? Like, my friend died when she was 17, 18. Like, there's nothing to say. There's absolutely nothing to say in that situation. It was just so sad and so hard and so difficult. So here's a few tips for being a positive, powerful presence in others' lives. Number one, being self-aware. The more self-aware you are about yourself and how things affect you and your feelings, and more aware of your emotions, being able to name how you feel is really important, because you cannot give another person the power of presence if you're not present. If your mind is going all over the place, if you're stressed out, if you're anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, all those things, it's really important for you to be self-aware. You have to first know how you're feeling and make sure that you are in a giving mindset, in a mindset where you have the capacity to be present and to be well enough to give this individual, your friend, the power of presence. Find out what you'd like others to experience when they're around you. So name it. It's just important to, like, be aware. This is what I want others to experience when they're around me. Is it feeling hopeful? Is it feeling encouraged? Is it feeling calm? When you're in the counseling setting, they always tell you to have the goal of leaving the counseling session and leaving the client more hopeful. So you can insert another feeling when you enter into, like, a conversation with a friend, or when you are interacting with somebody that needs some presence or help. Maybe it's a student, maybe you're a professor, maybe you're a teacher. And when you have meetings, you want them to feel more calm when they leave, more calm than they were before they met with you. So having a goal in mind is just really helpful when you're giving somebody the power of presence. Thirdly, reassess how you view those you encounter. There was a study done, this is from Psychology Today, but there was a study done in, like, 156 countries. And so many people said that the most powerful positive feeling that a person can give another person is respect. So reassess how do you feel about that person that you're interacting with? Say you are a guidance counselor in a high school. How are you showing that high schooler respect, that they're a human being, that they have a beautiful mind, that they can think for themselves, that yes, they are forming an identity outside of their family unit, and they have, just by being human, positive things in their life that they've done that you can admire, that you can respect? How can you show that person respect? Maybe you work with, maybe you're a social worker. Maybe you work in prisons, and it can get a little bit more challenging. But how can you show an individual that you're working with, that you're sitting with, that you're giving the power of presence, how can you show them that they are respected by you? How can you show your client? How can you show your coworker, your employee? Ask the question, what positive attributes do you see in that individual and that you appreciate in them? You might have to dig more depending on the person. You might have to explore your biases. I mean, that is a big thing that as a counselor you have to do when you're a student and you're learning these things. Like, what are some biases that you have about a people group? What are some things that maybe have influenced the way that you view a person, a type of person? And then when they're face to face before you, maybe it's a political party. Maybe it's a gender thing. Maybe it's somebody. And when they're sitting next to you, in front of you, you have a harder time showing respect or respecting that individual because of the experiences you've had. These are things we talk about in the counseling process. But when you are working with people, you're in the people business, these are things to really explore. And no one is going to feel a positive, powerful feeling of presence by you if you're being disrespectful, if you are not showing respect to that individual. And I'm a big one on that. That drives me nuts. And I think every leader, every boss should learn these things. So write it down. You know, it's very, very good. It's a good practice. The fourth thing is be curious. I love this. Be curious. What is the feeling behind what your friend is saying? How is this affecting your friend's day to day? What does this say about your friend's resilience or character? Like, point those things out, ask those questions. So powerful, guys. Being curious about that person, asking them, what does the day to day look like for you? Is this hard for you? Maybe it's easier for you. What is the challenging part about this experience or this grief or whatever you are going through? Like, what are some needs? Like, stay curious. Like, put yourself in the other person's shoes and walk around in them. And if you are experiencing a time in your life where maybe you don't have anybody who you feel like loves you enough to just sit with you in a hard time, there are so many support groups out there, guys. Like, so many. Like, I'm associated with Faith on the Journey Counseling. They're awesome and they have support groups. I also am doing mindset coaching. So if that's something you're interested in, if the fashion segment of this episode really hit home for you, those are things that we explore. We talk about presence, taking up space, how your belief system and what you believe about yourself and confidence will be played out in your behaviors. Those are some things that I explore as a coach, a mindset coach. And the other thing is, get counseling. Like, if you don't have anybody in your life who you feel safe enough to open up and do that, that is what talk therapy is all about. It is client-led. It shows respect to the individual. It gives you the power of presence, and you'll be amazed how amazing it is to talk to somebody who is outside of your life, who is just wanting to be curious about you and show respect and show you the power of presence. So if you're just really desiring that in your life right now, like, I would just encourage you to get some counseling. Like, it's so, so worth it. I have been, I also obviously believe in it because that's my career choice right now. Don't wait on that, because healing, life doesn't need to be as heavy as it's feeling right now. And again, the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm just praying, guides you as you make those decisions, as you make those choices. And don't forget to lean into that presence. That is so different than an individual or a counselor or anything like that. Having that close relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and because of what he did on the cross is like key. It's just not, there's nothing like it. I will always preach that, and I will always say that. I really firmly believe that, and that's my conviction and my story. I hope that that's encouraging to you. If you want mindset coaching, you can always head to hannahlynnmiller.com/mindset-coaching. And you can schedule an appointment today. Well, this episode took forever for me to do. It's about time for the Cubs game. And so you can see I have my t-shirt on. Sorry, you have to look up on YouTube to see my t-shirt, but I do have it in the video. Yeah. But it's almost, it took me forever because this camera, I got a new camera, and it kept dying on me. So we got to figure that out. But we did finish this episode. So thanks for joining me today, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening and watching. Can you make sure that you are subscribed so I can see you again? Make sure you're subscribed to the You Are Covered podcast wherever you're listening or watching this show, and take some time to review it on iTunes. This goes such a long way. I know it takes like a few seconds to get there, but it really, really matters, and I would so appreciate it. It goes a long way, and it helps us build a community here in the digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. As always, know that Jesus got you, girl, and you are covered. Be blessed.